The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 115th edition of Dave's Gone By. It is February 17th, 2005, 3 days after Valentine's Day, 4 days before President's Day, 1 month to St. Patrick's Day, with spring a week after that. In other words, so many cool events and holidays hovering around, but none of them today. Today is, I don't even know why I bothered to come in. I should have just stayed home and listened to myself over the radio. But, you know, even though today is not in itself an amazingly special day, that doesn't mean I can't make it a super spectacular day. Doesn't mean that I can't, through my own ingenuity, creativity, and sweat equity, make this program so cool and enjoyable that not only is the show special, but it retroactively makes the whole day before it wonderful, too. Now, it's not easy. I try to make every show special, but to make this one really extra special, I knew I'd need some help. I knew I couldn't do it alone. And praise be the gods of radio, I had my answer. My go-to guy, all the way from the streets of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He was a guest on Dave's Gone By back in late September 2003. That episode was called Band of Outsiders. It was dedicated to outsider artists, people making music or creating entertainment that falls outside the mainstream. But if you adjust your personal antenna just a little bit, and you slightly alter your perception of what makes fun music or an enjoyable night at the theater, not all entertainment is what you see on American Idol. And you know what? American Idol may see people like Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard and all those Ashanti clones as iconographic stars in the making. But even there was room for a micro-superstar like William Hung. And on television, CSI and ER may be the hottest shows, but somewhere on the fringe, somebody made Fear Factor and The Wonderful Family Guy hits, too. So, one of the things I like to do on this program is bring the outside inside, to play people like Tom Lehrer, or Wesley Willis, or Shuby Taylor, or Wildman Fisher, to showcase performers like Todd Robbins, as I did on that show a September ago. He was the creator and star of Carnival Knowledge off-Broadway at the time, a kind of modern freak and sideshow that he's touring with now. And on that same program, I had, as I said, from Milwaukee, a singer-songwriter and a very unique personality. You won't see him playing the Super Bowl halftime show anytime soon. Well, maybe in his living room or outside of Circuit City. But you will hear Art Paul Schlosser on Dr. Demento, on WFMU's Greasy Kid Stuff, or other comedy radio programs like Con Man's Corner on DFSX Radio, the same place where you can hear vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By. You can also hear Art Paul Schlosser on CD. He has 15 of them. And you can still hear him on the streets of Milwaukee playing for quarters and dollars. His songs are funny, odd, goofy, semi-serious, and inimitably Schlosserian. Not to Armenianize him, but we are going to deputize him, make him emissary of specialness, to lift this Dave's Gone By out of the mundane, out of the merely regular, and to share his thoughts, his exuberance, and music with you and me. Me being Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, journalist, humorist, and theater critic. The latter job description also comes into play tonight, unfortunately. On tonight's Inside Broadway, our weekly theater segment, we honor the memory and legacy of the late Arthur Miller. So we're making this Dave's Gone By a real fanfare for the common man and his uncommon achievements, and an exaltation of the everyday man and woman through music and art and a little comedy. All of it on this weekly hour-long program, airing on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, New York, live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com, and rated DGB-13 for the occasional off-color thought or idea, though the words themselves tend to be pretty G-rated. In fact, Art Paul Schlosser wouldn't have it any other way. So stay tuned for him in just a few minutes. First, though, please join me in mourning the death of the playwright of Death of a Salesman, Arthur Miller, remembered on Inside Broadway right after this. I've been telling you for months why you should use Hewlett Minuteman Press for all your copying and printing needs, but here's one of the owners, Mike Toron, to tell you why.
Hi, how you doing? At Minuteman Press, our ultimate goal is service. We are your best source for the most complete line of printed products. You can check us out on the web at www.hewlett.minutemanpress.com.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway, and you can see them shine off Broadway too. And if you love the theater scene, you need this special magazine. Performing Arts Insider is for you. Everything you want to know about theater, cabaret, opera, and dance, 516-295-1511, or go to TotalTheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. One of the greatest American playwrights who ever lived died last week, Arthur Miller. He died at age 89 of congestive heart failure, and his legacy is almost incalculable on the American theater, on the American culture in general. He was born October 17, 1915, one of three children in a middle-class Jewish family. His dad and mom were professional, but then the Depression hurt the family, and his father couldn't send Arthur Miller to college, so Miller worked at a warehouse and then earned enough money to study at the University of Michigan. He married his childhood sweetheart. That didn't work out, and then in 1956, we all know he met and married a little lady that we've all heard of named Marilyn Monroe, and that didn't work out too well either. I think he was the great love of her life, and yet she still was such a screwed-up personality and so reliant on chemicals and other things to get her through that she just wasn't ready to be a housewife or in anything other than a constant superstar, and that ended up killing her anyway. Anyway, but Miller pretty much had great luck all through the rest of his life because he obviously had written those extraordinary plays. He married Inga Morath in 1962, and they had a wonderful marriage for many, many years after that. And I don't know if you saw pictures of him recently, but when she died a couple of years ago, he found a much younger woman, and she was his companion, someone named Agnes. And with all that, of course, he had his ups and downs career-wise after he had those amazing string of early plays. But he was honored everywhere, and he got to travel everywhere, and he got every single, pretty much, kind of award. So nobody's crying for Arthur Miller, and he got to live to a pretty healthy 89. Up until the last couple of months, he was very active, still writing, still traveling, still speaking. So I wanted to give my thoughts about this amazing, and, you know, there's O'Neill on top for American theater, and then just a little underneath him is Miller, and Williams below that. Now, I say this because even if Arthur Miller had not written anything else but Death of a Salesman and The Crucible, even if he hadn't done All My Sons, or The Price, which isn't bad, or After the Fall, or The Ride Down Mount Morgan, which is very fun, if he had written those two, his place would be extremely secure, because Salesman is the ultimate American man story. And the interesting thing about it is that Willie Loman is described as a failure when we think of failure. And at the same time, he was on a certain level a success, and then you're trying to judge what does success mean, because think about it. He had the American dream. He had a loving wife, he had the kids, nice house, had a job that for many, many years he loved and did very well, had a car he had, and he was eating well. This is a man who built himself up to be a perfect suburban American kind of fella. And yet it all kind of falls apart, and you're not even sure why it is. I mean, he's letting himself do some some bad things, but at the same time, it's just all slipping away from him, owing to age and time. And that's the profound thing that you get out of Death of a Salesman. And that really also when Brian Dennehy did that wonderful revival a couple of years ago. And then there's The Crucible, which is one of the great political plays of the Americas, even if it wasn't kind of a response to the McCarthy era. And remember that Miller was real gutsy. He said no, he would not give names. And, he was punished for it in a lot of ways, although he never went to prison. So he took that and put it into the story of the Salem witch trials. But even if it was just about the witch trials, you could extrapolate that and see what was in there about the nature of evil in a certain way, but political evil, of mass hysteria, of group evil, and of a government that is relying on all the wrong reasons and all the wrong things to keep it controlled, to keep people in line. And those two plays are just about perfect. And Miller wrote a few others that are very watchable or enjoyable or mean something. All My Sons still plays very well and has a very potent message about guilt and what we do in the short run that can hurt us in the long run. There's The Price, which is again about someone who gave up something in order to get something that never comes. And so that's kind of an okay play. And The Ride Down Mount Morgan is a very funny play. That's one of the misconceptions about Arthur Miller, that he didn't really have much of a sense of humor, except he did. A lot of his plays are very amusing and enjoyable. The other misconception is that he couldn't write believable dialogue, which is ridiculous. I mean, sometimes he would slip in an occasional clinker line or something that was a little too poetic, but anybody who sat through Death of a Salesman or All My Sons or some of those, View from the Bridge even, although I kind of think it gets a little weird towards the end, we'll have to say his dialogue is gripping. His people are real and believable. And there's also the thing that Arthur Miller isn't particularly experimental. There was that whole thing back in the 80s when the theater community was just trumpeting Tennessee Williams. Everything was about Williams, Williams, Williams. And some of that had to do with the fact that there was a huge explosion of gay theater at the time, and I think there was an agenda on foot to show and make Tennessee Williams the great American playwright, because he was dealing with gay issues and he was dealing with poetry and those kinds of themes, and pushing Miller to the side. And also, Williams had died, so they wanted to honor him, and Miller was still keeping going and writing plays and not even bothering to do them on Broadway anymore because of the economics, and people took him for granted, and they said, well, he's not what he used to be, which he wasn't, but he was still writing some good stuff. And though Williams had done some lyrical experimental stuff, like Camino Reel, Miller also did. I mean, After the Fall, which is a quite personal look at, a veiled look at his relationship with Marilyn Monroe, was done in kind of an experimental style. And one of his more recent plays, a rather bad one, no question, called Mr. Peter's Connections, was a very dreamlike play, something almost out of Strindberg. So, let's give him his props all the way around. Now, I only met Arthur Miller one time. I was a journalist writing about theater for a website, and there was a press conference because they were doing a revival of, it was either The American Clock or some other play of his, and so Miller was actually on hand to field questions and to be part of that press conference announcing the play. And we were all asking questions, and I asked him kind of a, I won't say a dumb one, but one of those questions where it would take literally an hour or an essay to answer it properly, even when the playwright answered himself. I think I said, if there was a play that you've written a long time ago that you could change in some way, what would it be? And all the other journalists laughed at me and giggled and said, oh, God, what kind of question? But you know what? You go up against Arthur Miller, who is famously, by the way, was persnickety and kind of, curmudgeonly and gruff a lot of the time with everyone, including the press, and you go up against this legend, this image, and try and ask a question that isn't dumb or isn't overly intellectual or doesn't make you feel silly. But it was a good, he certainly wasn't nasty about it, and he chuckled a little. And so my one experience encountering him was certainly good. But I've had many experiences encountering Arthur Miller, the Arthur Miller who wrote the great Death of a Salesman, the Arthur Miller who fueled with political passion, The Crucible. The Arthur Miller who wrote a nice Jewish character for laughs in The Price. The Arthur Miller who tried to delve deeply, but not that deeply, into his own psyche in After the Fall. The Arthur Miller who basically tried to deal with sexual issues in The Ride Down Mount Morgan, which was about infidelity. Double infidelity, actually. It's about a bigamist. And all that kind of thing. And what he stood for and what he meant and what he gave to the American theater. So, hats off to Arthur Miller, the late, the great. We will miss him. We've just been Inside Broadway with Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider.
I hate my family. The holidays came and went, and I didn't get a satellite radio.
Oh, who cares? You've got more than enough cool radio to listen to on WGBB.
Well, sure. There's Dave's Gone By, Thursday nights at 7, but what else?
Shh, calm down. Right after Dave, there's the Instrumental Invasion of Smooth Jazz, hosted by Mike Shimeri at 8, and then Dave comes back at 9 on Thursdays with Filler Up.
Well, that's okay.
Of course it's okay. Plus, you've got radio psychic Joyce Keller doing her thing Wednesday nights at 11.
Oh, man, she's been on for years.
That's right. And you can listen to another WGBB veteran, Bonnie D. Graham, talking about the single life on Long Island's Dating Friday nights at 6.
What about comedy? I like comedy.
How about Mikey and Jimmy? Comedy, hard rock music, and live bands in the studio, Saturdays at 5:30. And you can also get a few laughs about serious topics like news and politics on Your World with Joe Salzone, Sunday nights at 7.
Let me get this straight. Joyce Keller, the psychotic.
Psychic.
Wednesday nights at 11. Mikey and Jimmy, the funny. Saturday nights at 5:30.
That's right.
Fridays at 6 is Long Island's Dating. You think Bonnie could hook me up?
No.
Sunday at 7 is Joe Salzone. Thursday night is you at 7, Mike Shimeri at 8, and you again at 9. Did I get it all?
Nice job.
I don't need a satellite at all.
That's right.
That's good. I read somewhere the ultraphonic waves would interfere with the space aliens in my head.
Why do they always come to me?
W-E-I-R-D. Weird. Radio station. Are we weird? Are you weird? Everybody get weird!
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, New York, and live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com, and also heard on live365.com and dfsxradio.com. By the time I finish doing these promos, you know, the segment's almost over, but no, we've saved a lot of time for this because I have a special guest on Dave's Got Guests, a return guest, a singer-songwriter, a very special one, comes all the way from the streets of Wisconsin. His name is Art Paul Schlosser. I played his music a few times on the show. You might have heard some of his songs on Dr. Demento, and perhaps he's still best known for the novelty number Have a Peanut Butter Sandwich that has made also a lot of the children's programs on the radio. Anyway, Art Paul is an artist, a singer-songwriter, one of those people that we talk about when we mention outsider music. Folks as diverse as Wildman Fisher or The Shags or people even going towards Liz Phair and some of the unique singer-songwriters like, you know, Loudon Wainwright III out there. They're all in this very wide concatenation of music. And I'm very happy, again, to have Art Paul Schlosser on Dave's Gone By. Hey, Art Paul, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm doing really good. It's a nice day. I'm inside, and I'm not freezing outside.
Right. Well, it's same here. It's actually been a rather nice, sunny day since rain in the morning in New York. And you're in Wisconsin, so what is it around this time of year there? Is it normally frozen?
Actually, it's usually supposed to be a little colder, but we're starting to get warmer weather. Some days are above. I have a temperature here. It says it's 32, but a couple of days ago, we got days in 50 degrees.
Yeah, we've been having that, too. It's been great. It's like spring is telling us it's around the corner. It's going to hide for a couple of days here and there more, but it can't hide forever. It's kind of,
I think it's like a couple of warm days, so then you think spring is coming, and then you get like 6 months of cold winter. No, just kidding.
Well, that's what the groundhog's for. He's supposed to tell us, what he sees or doesn't see or what's happening. But that's what a songwriter's supposed to do, too, is check which way the wind blows and how things are doing. So, how's your songwriting going?
Oh, really good. I'm working on something different, though. I wrote a lot of albums already, like 15 of them, and I just put out, a gospel CD. But now I'm working on a CD where I'm having other people record my songs.
It's like a self-made tribute CD. So who are some of the other people on it?
I don't have a lot of people yet, mm-hmm. but Biff from the Gomers.
Okay.
You might have heard of the Gomers. They have the parody song. Well, it's not really a parody. It's just a funny, goofy song called the Jewish Rapper. Well,
okay.
Biff from the Gomers said he might record My Cat Was Taking a Bath sometime, and then I talked to a band called Last Crack. I don't know if you've heard of them or not. They're somewhat national from here, but I don't know how big they really are. They said they might do one eventually, but I did get a guy named Jim Anderson, and he recorded a couple. And then another guy, my friend, the great Luke Ski, recorded me and him live at a club rapping against each other. And then later in the same song, we rap Pink Pants together.
Pink Pants, another one of your numbers. That's cool. People might know the great Luke Ski if they listen to Dr. Demento, which, of course, you cannot do in New York unless you're listening by the Internet, but that's another story entirely. Art Paul, let me ask you a question. There are basically three hats that you have to wear as a musician, as a performer. You're wearing, on one level, as you said, you put out about 15 albums in, about 10 years or less. You've also, you're a painter, kind of a folk artist, and you do that. Plus, you're a husband and father. You have one or two kids, or what have you got there?
I've got one son and a stepson.
Oh, very cool. So how do you divide a typical day or a typical week into what you need to do in your life?
Well, I have to prioritize
mm-hmm.
the kids and the family and the wife. That's most of my life.
Okay.
And then I try to squeeze in hours during the day where I can do some artwork or writing or music. Sometimes I do more as summer comes because I am the local, they call me the ambassador to State Street.
Yeah.
And I just go down there and I just start singing weird songs and people throw money in my case. And so as summer comes, that's kind of like a part-time job. But most of my time is I throw some of it in the middle of the night. I might get up and I might write. And then I write letters to people as well. So I'm probably working a lot and then not working at all.
You know, I have to say you're one of the few people who really does sit down and write a longhand letter. I mean, that's I haven't seen that since my teen years. And it's very cool to receive because email is up the kazoo with me. I get 4,000 emails, half of them spam, half of them one-sentence replies from people that I'm going back and forth with. And it's like suddenly I get mail from Art Paul Schlosser, in my regular old-fashioned mailbox. And there's, a picture in there and a drawing and a handwritten note and, a mimeographed sheet of something that he's doing. And I have to say that I don't know where you find the time, but it's very, very cool, you know?
Well, sometimes they don't take as much time, but other times, yeah. I don't know. It's just I feel inspired. I'll get up. I might write a letter to somebody. And actually, you might get better response in the mailbox than by email.
Oh, I would imagine so. I mean, people, if someone's going to take the time and effort to write something down, put it in an envelope, spend 37 or 54 cents on a stamp and mail it, I think the other person is almost obliged to have the courtesy to do more than, say, either ignore it or just something very, very quick. You kind of have to respond by saying, oh, okay, thank you for taking this time. You know, what do you want to talk about? Now, oh, sorry, yeah, you were saying.
It's kind of like a surprise in your mailbox.
It's cool. Now, you did surprise me last time, and I hope you don't mind talking about this, but and we talked a little about this yesterday in prep for the show. But it was a very cool letter that you sent me, because you're a Christian. Are you a born-again Christian or a regular Christian? How would you describe it?
Well, I believe the born-again Christian is actually supposed to be a normal Christian, and people that say they're born again and transcend their group differently than other churches is really not, I don't think they're that much different. I mean, the basic thing is faith,
cool.
You know, and to when you get faith, you do become born again. Are you there?
Well, you haven't turned me off yet. No, the reason I'm asking is you asked some very interesting and pointed questions about my beliefs and whether I believed in Christ and all that. So, and you weren't really trying to proselytize or convert me, because you're not going to. But but you were very cool. You know, I gave you my answers and you were okay with them, and I was okay with your questioning. And I think it'd be great if we had more religious dialogues like that, where you're telling me where you're at and I'm saying where I'm at, and then we leave each other alone on it. You know, it's very
well,
cool.
I don't think I can make you buy a product you're not interested in. You know, like, let's say I come up with a soda, cherry grapefruit.
Okay.
And it sounds weird to begin with. If you're not interested, and I come to your door, and I knock on your door politely, and you come to the door, and you say, you don't want it, and you slam the door in my face, how worthless is it for me to keep coming to your door? You'll probably call the cops. And if I continue to come to the door, even after you call the cops, I'll probably end up in jail. A cooler way is I tell you about cherry grapefruit soda. There's no such thing. I hope there isn't ever. Sounds weird.
Well, actually, I hate to break in, but you do know that there is a company, and I've forgotten their names, but all around the holidays, they actually make these very, very weird soda flavors. Have you heard about it? There's a turkey and gravy soda that they do. I mean, some weird soda. I mean, beyond like bubblegum soda. I'm talking meat.
So
talking
I have
broccoli.
This product,
yeah.
And I've got it out there, and you're interested.
Uh-huh.
You hear about it. You'll buy it. I don't even have to sell it. You know what I mean?
Good point. Very good point.
I mean, you'll hear more and more about it because other people will check it out. If they like it, they'll tell you about the product. I mean, the gospel really doesn't need to be pushed. It just needs to be presented the way it is. You know, it's mm-hmm. supposed to be good news.
Right, well, it wasn't always during, like, the Crusades and stuff, but, you know, it can be for the right people.
It's about healing. It's about forgiveness. It's about love. It's not about the Crusades, actually.
I know. Your last album, your most recent album, is a gospel. First of all, what's it called?
It's called Do You Want to Walk on Water?
Gewalt. All right. but that's you're not.
Was I too loud?
Oh no, that's great. That's. I mean, I can feel the faith coming through you, which is scaring the heck out of me. But but it's not. You're not just going to do gospel. I mean, it's not as if you're one of these performers whom suddenly you've gotten into this mode and it's all about Jesus and that's the only thing you're going to do now. You know,
All my albums have at least one or two gospel songs. My belief is that I'm a comedian that believes in Jesus.
Okay.
I'm not a Christian who won't sing about anything else.
Cool.
In fact, I think that's the problem. When people, they get this born-again experience, they say, I'm only going to do gospel music from now on. they've scared everyone away from them because that's not what Christianity is about. God doesn't want to cleanse you from yourself. He wants to make you a better you.
Actually, I could use a little cleansing, come to think of it. I just sniffed my armpits, and it's should have bathed before I came in today. But, you know, moving away from the religious stuff, let me ask you, what aside from the quote-unquote outsider or novelty folks that you mentioned, who are the folks that, over the past couple of years, you've been listening to? What CDs do you buy, or what do you hear on the radio that you like?
Oh, I have some weird taste, and some of the stuff I've listened to. I should mention Sherry Elf, because she sent us a CD for free, and we even recorded one or two of her songs for her tribute CD, but we just laughed when we got her CD in the mail. Sometimes I listen to stuff people just mail me out of the blue. They just send me their CD, mm-hmm. and I might just love it, and then I'll listen to it over and over. And I should mention Ken Jackson. I like some of his, but okay. not all of it, you know. And then there was this group. Oh, this is a really weird group. They're called Trenchcoat Club.
Trenchcoat Club, okay, yeah.
And they wrote this song called Save the Ants.
Oh,
and then
my.
There was this other song called Prunberry Crunch. But the first song was the funniest because it says, hello, Deliria, you know, hello, wherever you're at.
Uh-huh.
This song will sound better when you've had more beer. And then they say, and they booed.
Oh.
And they booed. And the song is all about how they went all over and turned and everywhere they were booed at.
Oh, that must be fun to be in that band, let me tell you.
Well, their first album, I definitely recommend, but I don't know the names. But I'm sure they're on the internet at trenchcoatclub.com. And then, like, I listen to other stuff.
There was someone that you mentioned where you like some of his stuff, Tony Jackson, and some that you
Ken
don't.
Kane Jackson, sorry.
And some of the stuff that you don't has to do with you find it a little vulgar or tasteless, I assume, and not right.
Sometimes he will be repetitive with the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
And then and sometimes he's not totally 100%. But he's an outsider, so, you know, sometimes I like outsider. I like Daniel Johnston. I might get this wrong, so I've got to be careful.
Sure.
Daniel Johnston started in Austin, Texas, and he would give away, like, cassettes and stuff. I think he might have worked at McDonald's, but I'm not sure. And
okay.
then Sonic Youth had him open for them.
Cool.
And then there was some other weird things, and I don't know exactly what happened, and I'd hate to say the wrong thing. But he ended up in, sometimes I think the mental wards are like concentration camps.
Well, yeah.
You know, but he was in there and he wrote some of his songs from in there. And
did he play a little sort of keyboard himself?
Yeah.
You know, he's on that first Irwin Schuss had put out. The outside of music CDs. And Walking the Cow or something. I think that's the name of it. Walking, he has a song on there. He's kind of, he is not untalented. Let me put it that way. But what I wanted to actually ask you was your opinions, since you're coming at it both ways. Since you're an artist, and artist being musically in this case, and, you know, so like all kinds of music and outside of music, you're also a father and a Christian. So my question is, how do you feel about this, where things are going as far as radio and the FCC clamping down and what can be done on regular radio and TV and what is going to cable and to satellite? You have any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know. I guess my idea is I understand where someone might come from that wants to swear, but why do you have to swear to give out a message?
Okay. Well, if people, let's say you don't, but let's say another artist felt that he wanted to. To make his message clear, to get his point across the way he wants to sound, swearing is right for him or her.
Well, he could put it on his website no matter what.
Well, yes. But, you know, there is a difference of the amount of traffic. And
I just said something. I hope the FCC didn't hear that. Pretty soon, the Internet will be FCC regulated. Oh, that's terrible.
Well, do you think it's terrible?
I
do, but...
There should be a little bit of beach. I mean, I think they should have allow adult sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I want 13-year-olds to go to adult site.
Well, no, certainly not. I don't want a 15-year-old going to an adult site. I mean, it's for adults. But
yeah, so in that case, I'm kind of concerned. But, yeah, I do think if someone has an adult site and they want to put a swear word song on there, I think if only adults can go to it, that's up to them. I mean, there could be worser things than I hate war, blank, 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 blank. It causes me to blank, 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 blank.
Right.
Because that's a lot better than you ever see those. And I don't look at these myself, but
right.
Sometimes people don't even have any control because one might accidentally go into one of these, like, naked person site, and then they try to get out of it,
yeah.
And it hooks them in, and they keep getting these pop-ups.
Right.
And
you're not even talking about the screen. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Oh, I know. But going back to now radio, there's no place or no way on radio at the moment to have an adult station, like a scrambled station or a station that...
Are you sure on the internet you can do it?
Yes, on the internet and now on satellite radio. But I'm saying on the regular, America or on channel 247, 1113 on your TV. You know, if you're flipping the dials, there it is. And, you know, the FCC is saying you shouldn't be able to say this or to show this or to do that.
Well, you can do anything. I mean, that's kind of dangerous because anybody can just flip on the radio.
Well, right. So you're saying there should be some restrictions, some limitations.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a wimp. I'm a nice wimp, and I'm not going to make you agree with me because it's not worth it. But I like cleanness. But I'm not sure that the FCC is always right. I will argue that sometimes they have ban some people saying some words that are not necessarily, I'm not sure, are 100% a swear word.
Well, we certainly agree there. And let's also agree that we wanted to talk a little bit more about your music, since essentially that's how you came to the fore. That's how we know who you are. Before the gospel album, you put out three albums in 1 year. It was just amazing, like the ABCs.
Actually, the gospel was actually put out last year, but it didn't really come out until this year.
Okay.
And then also the ABCs of Art Paul Schlosser's World,
mm-hmm.
and Words of Cheese and Other Pear Trees. But that was only three. The year before, I put out four.
What were they?
Those four were Vote for Me, It's a Joke.
Oh, right, yes.
Live at the Hog.
Mm-hmm.
Art Paul Schlosser and Friends. Live at the Club de Wash, plus the three song at Bob's Apartment Experiment.
Now, that's all one title, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last one was, the fourth one was the Best of Art Paul Schlosser.
Yeah, that's really, and that's, that one, by the way, folks, has Have a Peanut Butter Sandwich, if you're particularly looking for that song. It's got a bunch of other...
got Purple Bananas.
Purple Bananas, On the Moon, Kermit the Frog Aftershave, Choke Soda,
I think the best one on there, but maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I'm particular. Maybe you want to play this one for people.
Yeah.
They won't play this on the country western radio. It's a country western song that's kind of a contradiction. Play the sound of country west radio. It's not what they call country. I don't wear no cowboy hat, and I didn't send them any money. I didn't send them any money. I come from the north, and I don't drink beer. And besides all these other things, they probably think that I'm queer. Probably think I'm queer just 'cause I wear pink. Ain't that make you think everybody's judging everyone? And sometimes it's in the name of God's son. Sometimes it's in the name of God's son. Maybe it's 'cause of the kazoo. Don't play this on the country western station. That's not gonna bother me. That's not how I want to succeed. I don't want to succeed by conformity. I don't want to succeed by conformity. Yeah, I wear the clothes that I want to wear, and I cut my hair the way I want to cut my hair. And if they don't play this on the country western radio, you know where they can go, you know where they can go. They won't play the song of country western radio. It's not what they call country. I don't wear a cowboy hat, and I didn't send them any money. I didn't send them any money.
They won't play this on country western radio. That's from the best of Art Paul Schlosser. And very, very happy to have Art Paul.
Oh, can I mention Apple iTunes? Or
Yeah, do some plugs. Go ahead.
You can download the best of Art Paul Schlosser, or Do You Want to Walk on Water at Apple iTunes, Rhapsody, Music Mart, Napster, a lot of the other places. Where do you download, if you do?
I listen to music on the internet, but I don't like download and buy. So I don't have an iPod. I don't have any of that. I haven't joined that part of the revolution yet.
Well, but if you are, and we're not trying to put you down or anything,
sure.
That's cool. And download my songs and start an Art Paul revolution.
Oh my goodness! Well, you know what? What would an Art Paul revolution consist of? If you were president. I mean, maybe I didn't ask you this last time, but I'm going to ask you again. If you were president, what would you do?
Well, here's one that a bumper sticker that me and my wife are working on that we're going to release, probably selling them for $2, but I don't know. I said money. I'm sorry. Anyways, it says, more for poor, less for war.
Gosh, we actually agree 125% on that one. I'm totally in agreement. I mean, we're talking just the day after they announced how much Medicare and drug companies are getting.
I think also I would make a law that allows every major city to have a place for people that don't have a place. If not a homeless shelter, at least allow people to sleep on the grass.
Let me ask you something. You, since you are a street performer, do you have much dealings in the way with homeless people, since you're probably in contact with them, more than the average person, let's say?
Well, my concern is that I've noticed that in the last couple of years, that cities are cracking down and they're starting to make laws saying you can't sleep outside, and homeless people, sometimes they get in a trap where maybe they're an alcoholic, and they work and they make some money and they drink, and then they don't have a place to stay because, or maybe they have SSI and they don't have a place to stay, and somewhere along the way they can't get their SSI money because now they don't have an address, or, you know, they get in this rut where they end up just on the street and they can't find a place to stay because they don't got enough money for a hotel, they don't have an address to get SSI money, or if they do get SSI money, it doesn't pay enough to buy an apartment, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, the government wants to be cracking down on one end, and yet not knowing how to really do anything with the people that it's sweeping along on the other. It's kind of not an ideal segue, but since we're talking about people who are homeless and walking around and loitering, hint, hint, there's a song off your ABC, is it the ABC album or the Cheese album?
It's off the ABC's album. It's the L for Let's Loiter.
Let's Loiter. And we're going to play that, but before we get out of here, I want to thank you, as always, Art Paul Schlosser, for...
Should I read the story?
Actually, let's say that perhaps for another time, because Art Paul Schlosser has written a story that he wants to read for us.
We're not going to have time to do it on... The Treasure.
The Treasure. So I never promise on this program, but I promise in the weeks ahead, we're going to try and play for you Art Paul Schlosser's The Treasure story. I can't wait to hear it. And, Art, you'll stay with us after I finish this part. But for now, certainly, I want to thank you so much.
Well, can I say something to people as we leave?
Yeah, of course.
I hope, I don't know when the show is going to be on, but there's a couple holidays coming up. I hope you have a very romantic or friendly Valentine's Day. I hope your President's Day, you think of your favorite president and draw a picture of him, and just enjoy drinking green something or other, whether it's beer or Kool-Aid on St. Patrick's Day. I don't know if...
Maybe Limeade, if they made that, yeah.
And then there's always, have a great egg on Easter.
Well, I can't improve upon that. Very hard to improve upon someone like Art Paul Schlosser. Thank you so much for being with us in the Daverhood today. It's great loitering with you, Mr. Schlosser.
Yeah, let's all loiter. I mean, why do you have to always run and get somewhere? Loiter and enjoy the day.
They got a new fad. It's the latest trend. It's not a dance step. It's on. Sit around doing nothing. Let's loiter. Loiter. Everyone, let's all loiter. We're gonna sit around and do nothing. Yeah, let's all loiter. Don't take fancy clothes. And it don't take a lot of money. It don't take a big celebrity. No, we just sit around and we'll do nothing. Loiter. Loiter. Everyone, let's all loiter. We're gonna sit around and we'll do nothing. Yeah, let's all loiter. Yeah. It don't hurt anyone. And it's lots of fun. It don't destroy you like drugs or kill you like alcohol. Loiter. loiter. Everyone, let's all loiter. We're going to sit around, we'll do nothing. Yeah, let's all loiter. Yeah, it's not a sin, so it shouldn't be a crime. So if someone with a badge comes up to you and says you can't be sitting there, what do you just move? Find yourself a new spot and loiter. Loiter. Everyone, let's all loiter. We're going to sit around. We'll do nothing. Yeah, let's all loiter.
Hey, baby, for a good time, don't call me. Read Dave Lefkowitz's book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. It's got all these funny comedies in it. They make you laugh, they make you think, they make you, ooh. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby.com. If you like Dave on the air, you'll love him between the covers. Sponsor me, Dave's Gone By. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.com or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise, on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
What?
There are 168 hours in a week, but Dave's Gone By is only 1 hour long.
I know, I'm just on Thursday night.
That's not enough!
Well, why don't you get my CDs?
CDs?
All my complete shows are on compact disc, $14 a piece or less if you buy a bunch. Just go to davesgoneby.com, fully packaged, and they make a nice gift, too.
Well, my depression is cleared.
Great.
But not my psychosis. What chicken is this?
Is there anything better than an hour of Dave's Gone By? Yes, more hours of Dave's Gone By. After you finish listening to the show on Thursday nights, surf your web over to dfsxradio.com and hear a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By every Thursday at 8. And if you miss that, they replay it at 11 Eastern Standard Time. So remember, hear Dave's Gone By Thursday nights at 7 on GBB, and then hear older episodes on dfsxradio.com at 8 and 11 every Thursday. It's all the Dave you could ever want! Kinda. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Thanks so much for loitering with us this past hour. If you feel like loitering in the neighborhood for a while longer, don't forget that you can hear older shows, vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By on dfsxradio.com, with a classic episode every Thursday night at 8 and repeated at 11, just visit my website, davesgoneby.com. All the information is there, plus links that you can click and directly go to listen to Dave's Gone By tonight at 8 and 11 on davesgoneby.com. If you stay with WGBB, you'll hear The Instrumental Invasion from 8 to 9, an hour of instrumental jazz, pop, and new age, and then I'm back at 9 with an entirely different program from Dave's Gone By. It's a show called Filler Up, because we fill up the hour with great eclectic music. And this week, well, this one's kind of adventurous, because we're doing birthday tributes to two of the strongest, most unpredictable, most distinctive female artists in pop. They're both love-em-or-hate-em performers, the great Nina Simone and the arguably great Yoko Ono. Now, don't run screaming from your console or jumping out of your vehicle before you can switch the dial. You just might be surprised at how catchy or melodic or toe-tapping Yoko could be, even if her voice does leave a lot to be desired. But if you always dismissed Yoko as just a screaming Mimi, kvetching over pure noise, you're doing her a disservice, one that I'll try to correct a little tonight at 9 on Filler Up. as far as Nina Simone, she was truly a major interpretive artist, right up there with Ray Charles and Roberta Flack and Sarah Vaughan, and yet still an outsider artist, just like Yoko, and just like our guest tonight, Art Paul Schlosser. As he mentioned in the interview, he's written a story that he's excited about and wants to read on the air. We did not have time tonight, but I promise that next week or the week after, we will make room for The Treasure. It's a very nice story, and you can definitely bring the kids. And you can bring yourself and the young'uns to Art Paul on the Internet. He's got about 8 different websites. So the best way to check him out is to Google or Yahoo search the name Art Paul Schlosser, S-C-H-L-O-S-S-E-R, and just click the first or second or third sites that come up. Art Paul and I may disagree on religious affiliation, but as long as he's making music that's personal and funny and spirited and unlike anything you'll hear on typical radio, I'll count myself a disciple. And I hope I can count you, my beloved listeners, among the growing disciples of this show. If you like it, tell your friends, buy a CD. All the past programs are recorded on disc and for sale on my website, davesgoneby.com. Or buy my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available in hardcover and trade paperback, again, at davesgoneby.com. And please give all your business to my fine sponsors, Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, for all your copying, printing, binding, and reproducible needs, and Total Theater, makers of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Everything you want to know about Broadway, Off-Broadway, Cabaret, and other live performances in New York. Performing Arts Insider. Check them out at TotalTheater.com. I want to wish a speedy recovery to my Uncle Lester. I want to give all my post-Valentine love to my amazing wife, Joyce. I want to wish a happy almost birthday to my dad. More about that next week. Or, more specifically, February 24th, 7 p.m., on the 116th edition of Days Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you good night, see you later, and gone by.
Maybe you think I'm weird, but you haven't seen yourself in the mirror. Maybe you think I'm strange, but you haven't seen what you look like these days. And if shoe fits, wear it. If shoe fits, wear it. If you think it's true, and it might be true. If shoe fits, wear it. Just cause I'm dressed like you, don't mean that I'm uncool. Just cause I don't dress like you, hey, maybe you're the fool. If shoe fits, wear it. If shoe fits, wear it. If think it's true, and it might be true. If shoe fits, wear it. Shoe fits, wear it. If the shoe fits, wear it. If think it's true, and you know it might be true. If shoe fits.